Good evening. We're sitting there singing that song, and I thought to myself, I didn't give the scripture reading to anybody. And we don't have a scripture reading tonight. So if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. The past few nights we've looked at two Bible characters that I'm sure each of us are familiar with. We looked at Daniel. And then we looked last night at David. Tonight we're going to look at Micaiah in 1 Kings chapter 22. And we're going to look in as we go through this, we're going to look at two kings, 400 prophets, and then one prophet of the Lord, and that is Micaiah. But before we begin, I'd like to suggest this. Truth is not always taken with a favorable result. You see, most times people don't want to be challenged with the truth. And I'll kind of bring that to light in this manner. When someone asks, maybe it's your wife or maybe it is your husband, they say, does this outfit look good on me? Or does this outfit make me look fat? Or do you like my haircut? Or do you like my hairstyle? Or does this outfit match? Does this tie match my shirt? And does the tie match my coat? You know, these are things that we ask in everyday life. And sometimes we want to hear the truth, but can we really handle the truth? And actually, you know, it's not always taken with a favorable result. In fact, I know when I'm looking for a tie to match my shirt, and I think I got it, and my wife looks at me and says, uh-uh. You know, that happens from time to time. And I think to myself, boy, that just makes me mad. And so, you know, not anger mad, but just like, oh, you know. And other times, I think, well, she would probably know better than I. So the truth is not always taken in a favorable way, but we appreciate the truth. I have a question is this for us to think about and ponder, not just today and not just in tomorrow, but in the time of our life, we need to ponder this. Do we want people to tell us what we want to hear, or do we want people to tell us the truth? You see, those are two questions we must ask. Do we want to hear the truth and we want to know maybe what we need to do? Or do we want just people to tell us what we want to hear? You see, the truth at times may go against what we want to do or against what we believe in. And how do we perceive that? Or how do we go forward? How do we proceed? Do we just cast the truth aside and follow after our own desires and our own beliefs? Sadly, people in our society say this, that is just your version of the truth. You see, what they're doing by that is they're making truth subjective. What is truth for you may not be truth for me. Or what is truth for one thing may not be the truth or your version of that truth. By doing this, they're making truth subjective instead of objective. You see, when we think of religious matters and we think of God and His Word, we need to understand that God's Word is truth. And if we are going to follow after God, we need to make sure that we are looking at the truth. That we are looking at God's Word to make sure we are following what He desires us to follow. If you would, turn in your Bibles, hold in 1 Kings chapter 22, but turn into 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, I was right the first time. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture, that means the Bible that we have is given by inspiration of God. And it, when we look at what does that mean, it means it is God breathed. God spoke it. God had writers to write it. It is breathed out by God. So then we can look at this and we understand that when we have all the scriptures, and we know from 1 Peter, that we have everything to life and godliness, we can look and see that all scripture is from God. And with that, it is truth. Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, in verse 17, he said, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." He is praying to God, and he's asking for his disciples to will be sanctified, is set apart from the world by the truth. And he says, your word is truth. And we see here in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by God. And what is it good for? It is good for this. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then Paul goes on to charge Timothy. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Preach the word. And that word is the scriptures. And he's encouraging me to just do that, to speak the scriptures, to teach the scriptures. And in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 15, we're going to go back up here. And Timothy, we see from a childhood, he has known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. As we look and understand this, we can look at what is truth, and we can look at the Scriptures to see that the scripture is truth because it is from God, and it is profitable for us to apply to our life to make us complete, the person that God wants us to be. And as we look at this and we examine what truth is, we're going to look at this illustration that may not be a popular one that we bring out, but in 1 Kings chapter 22, there's a lesson for us to take from this. But as we go through, we're going to pretty much go 1 through, I think, 38. And as we go through this, we'll bring out the story here in the lesson for us today. 1 Kings chapter 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel, and then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, 'Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria.' So he said to Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?' Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.'" As we look at this, we see that Ahab, the king of Israel, proclaimed that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us. Now, at that present time, Syria was the one in control of that. And I'm not quite sure why he felt that was his possession, but he felt that it belonged to them. And we see here an alliance of forces here is formed with the king of Israel and the king of Judah. And this was the first time that we see this type of alliance between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And we see here that these two kings come together. Now, remember that this was all one kingdom at one time. And they come together for this meeting. We don't know really why the meeting was going to take place or why Jehoshaphat went down there, but we do know that they came together. Maybe this was something in common. It was a time of peace, we see. And at this point, in verse number 3, he believes that It is there for their taking. And he wants to go take it, the king of Israel. And in fact, he said, we're doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he's like pretty much saying, will you go to battle with me? So we see this alliance is formed by what Jehoshaphat said. He said, pretty much, I'm in agreement. I am with you. In fact, he said, my people are your people. My horses, your horses. This combined effort will create a tougher force to go against the Syrian army there. And as we go through tonight's lesson, we're going to look at a few proverbs. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If you know the story, you'll understand why we're looking at that. It seems right that this land is there, and if we combine forces, we're going to go get this. But as we look further deep into this, the king of Israel gathered his people together. And let's go on and read 5 through 12. It says, also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. The king of Israel called for an officer to bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat on his throne at the threshing floor in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and the prophets prophesied before them. We'll stop right here for a second. Jehoshaphat was considered a good king, and he was one that, as we look at later, if you just want to skip over to verse 43 in chapter 22, it says that concerning Jehoshaphat, that he walked in all the ways of his father Asa, and he did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered sacrifices, burned incense on the high places. Also, Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. You see, Jehoshaphat was a good king. In fact, he was considered one who followed after God. He didn't turn aside to the right or to the left. He followed God. And it's interesting here that these two kings come together, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, then said, let's inquire of the Lord before we do this. It sounds like a good idea, but let's ask the Lord. And right away, we see the king of Israel, about 400 men gathered his prophets. And I want us to really emphasize his prophets, not the prophets of the Lord, but his prophets. And these prophets are about 400 men who told the king what he wanted to hear. You know, we talked about that truth. Do we want to hear the truth, or do we want to hear what we want to hear? And it is often the case, as we mentioned earlier, that people just want confirmation of those things that they are providing, and what they are doing is really just providing lip service. These prophets did just that, and you can see Jehoshaphat even saw through the scheme that the prophets were offering, and he said, well, is there any more? Is there one from the Lord? You know, right away, they didn't even go and inquire, but they just, they just said whatever the king wanted to hear. There's no mention of them going to the Lord and asking him or anything like that. But as we look at this, the king, Jehoshaphat, he said, well, is there anybody else? Now I want us to look, there is one man Micaiah. We may inquire of him, but I hate him. Quite honestly, he just blurts it out. I don't like him because he does not tell me what I want to hear. He prophesies bad and evil against me. He never says anything good. I want us to think about that. And all the scriptures we know about this time when the children of Israel are following after God and seeking God and trying to live right and according to his statutes, God protected them. God provided for them. God gave them their enemies in war. But they weren't living right. And of course, the king of Israel at this point was definitely not in the right relationship with God. And of course, every prophecy then from when he really inquired from God, a prophet inquired from God, was going against him because he was not living right. In fact, he hated him. He hated him because he told him the truth. Now, Jehoshaphat, he didn't want the popular opinion of the day, but he wanted the prophet of the Lord. And when he inquired, he said, pretty much, why would he be hated by the king? And that is, we see, he said, let not the king say such things. This is, Jehoshaphat was a king, and he was one to follow after God. And he said, if we're asking what the Lord, we should do and listen to that. But as we see, it is better for someone to lie. We must ask this question again. Is it better for someone to lie to you and make you feel good, or to have someone to tell you the truth and ruffle your feathers? Which one is truly benefiting you? Which one actually cares for you? Which one should you listen to? I think pride comes in to play here and is at stake because it's just foolishness, not listening to God. Proverbs 17 and verse 4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. You see, the king of Israel listened to those prophets of, I'll just say of his prophets, his people that were telling him pretty much what he wanted to hear. Now, verse 9 through 12, we see that Micaiah is summoned by the king. And meanwhile, the other prophets and leaders are in the army are reminding the king that the Lord is with them. And we read down through verse 10, and let's read 11 and 12. Now, Zedekiah, the son of Chaniah had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these you shall gore the Assyrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver you into the king's hand. The Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. As we see here, these prophets continued to go to the gates, and they were telling that the Lord is with you, the Lord is with you. And look, even Zedekiah made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus saith the Lord, these horns that I'm gathering here, they're going to help destroy these Syrians. We don't know, and it was my understanding and my belief that they were just saying that. They were just saying that. They weren't really prophets of the Lord. They weren't ones, it was something maybe just a saying that they had, because I think they would have taken and they would have won the battle. The prophets, as we see, continued and just given the king of lip service. Now, Micaiah is encouraged to speak the same thing. Let's look at verse 13. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophet with one accord encouraged the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Now, there's no mention that of this, but as we think about this, could there possibly be a time where this messenger knew Micaiah went against the king before? We don't know that, but he pleads with them. He said, now listen, the words of these other prophets, they're all saying a united message to the king, encouraging them to do what he wants to do. And there is that, and then you see that, please let your word be like one of them. And he's pleading, don't go against him. And that's that personal side behind all of it. He didn't say this, but it makes you think is, we don't really care what the Lord says. Just satisfy the king. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? But we see the messenger begs Micaiah to speak these words. And Micaiah is not persuaded by it. And he said this in verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. He said, as the Lord lives. And he's confirming that by the God that is the living God, that as long as he is alive, whatever the Lord says to me, I will speak it. Boy, there is great words there, a great stand. I'm not going to be persuaded by anybody of the king or 400 men. I'm going to say whatever God tells me to say. I'm going to prophesy what God wants me to prophesy. And if we take this lesson and apply it to our lives, as we are living as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No, and as we look at this, we can understand that we need to stand where God has stand, where God has said. And as we know through that, since the scripture is God breathed, and we can look and we can go make that stand on God's word, and knowing that it is truth, and whatever it says, I'm going to speak it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to tell others about it. And that's the stand that we should make. As we look at Micaiah, and we see pretty much he says, I'll speak what the Lord tells me to speak. I will not sway from the truth. I will not go with the flow. I'm not going to be influenced by the multitude. I'm going to tell the truth, even if it is not popular. This is one of the greatest statements made in the whole Old Testament. As the Lord liveth, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. He makes a stand right here. Before he even comes in the presence of the king, he does it to the messenger. So Micaiah, though standing alone, boldly speaks the word of the Lord. And let's go to verse 14 through 18. And it says, and Micaiah said, we already read 14. Let's look at 15. Then he said to the king, he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into your hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep, and they have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his own house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Now, we see maybe Micaiah coming, and maybe with the messenger, maybe knowing the prophets of Israel at that time. They just said whatever the king wanted to hear. And so Micaiah answered just how the king would want them. However, the king didn't buy it for a second. He said maybe it was in the manner that he said it or the tone of his voice, but the king recognized his sarcasm. And the king responds, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? You know, he never charged those other 400 men, tell me the truth. He never said, tell me what God wants me to do. But he challenges Micaiah here. Tell me the truth. I want to know the truth. As we looked earlier, You know, the king of Israel couldn't handle the truth. And whenever we see that, we see here what he tells them, the truth, and what does he instantly say? He never says anything good. Why should I listen? He never tells me anything good. It's always evil towards me. And when we look at what truth is and how we are going to follow after it, maybe we think that in our lives. You know, I want to know the truth. And maybe people have told us the truth, yet we keep seeking somewhere else. Or maybe don't look at God's word, and we're not looking for the truth. Micaiah gave the king the truth, and he didn't want to hear it. Micaiah from previous times knew that the king was going to do whatever he wanted to do and didn't really care about the prophet or even what the Lord's will was. He may have known the pride of the king. The king couldn't or even wouldn't handle the truth. The king wanted nothing to do with the truth when he gave it to him. So as we look at this, we see his prophecy is that all of Israel's army will be scattered and defeated. The king of Israel then turned to the king of Judah and told him, as we mentioned, he said, really what he was saying in the matter was this: he never tells me what I want to hear. He always says, it goes against me. I hate him because he is the only one telling the truth. You see, that is the true statement. I hate him because he's telling me what I need to hear. How many times do we live our lives knowing the fact that we are being told the truth? Maybe it's from a preacher. Maybe it's from an elder. Maybe it's from our parents. We're being told the truth, but we just don't want to follow it. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live the way we want to live. We don't want that thing they call truth. We need to be careful that we don't have pride like the king of Israel. Micaiah proclaims that the 400 prophets as liars. And we're going to look at verse 19 through 23. It says, then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. As we look at this verse, and let's go ahead and read one more. I'm sorry. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all those prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. We see that the Micaiah, he stops and says, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. This is from God. And he tells them that the Lord is sitting on his throne. And all the hosts are right there to his right and to his left. And we this is a kind of a tough scripture as we look at it. And we'll talk about that in a second. Who will persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead? It seems like there was a discussion about it. And a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and pretty much saying, I will persuade him. In what way? I'll send a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And so we see that they were told to go and to do so. Now, how are we to take these verses? Some say that these verses are not to be taken literally. There are similar passages that speak of God allowing people to be deceived by lies when they refuse the truth. If you would, a couple of verses, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. As we look at that verse, we see that Satan works in his wonders. He works his ways, and he sends forth a lie, a spirit of deception. And we see also, we know in Romans chapter 1, we see that we exchange the truth for a lie. How is that God allowing this to happen? Yeah, it is. God allows it to happen. God doesn't want that. We have that free will to choose what is truthful and what is a lie. And we see the Bible and the Old Testament especially places everything under the control and power of God. He is in control. Read the book of Daniel. Daniel is one who pretty much, if you get this out of Daniel, this is one of the most important points, that God is in control. In the minor prophets, we look through that. God is in control. But we understand also Job, that Job was tempted by Satan himself, and we see that illustration is in the same manner as this, that the spirit or Satan came before God and said, you know, let me take care of this. Let me see if he'll follow after it. The clear point of this story, told by Micaiah, is to point out that the Lord sees the message out of the prophets as a lie. And the 400 prophets were not telling the truth. Even though we may not completely understand the statements or the actions, the clear message is that Micaiah is the only one telling the truth. He is telling them what God has said. And as we look at this, we understand that it is a lying spirit was sent forth into these kings because of the evil in Israel at that time. And we see that they listen to those lying spirits. As we look today, we see, as we mentioned about truth earlier, we see that there is division in the body of Christ. There is complete unity in Christ, but people have gone their own separate ways, and we're part of this. There's some in this denomination, and that denomination, and this, in others, and ultimately there is truth. We either are following the truth of God or we're not. There's no divisions in truth. And what ends up happening is like this. There is division because people are believing a lie. When we look at the God's word and look directly at it and look and search the scriptures, we'll find that there is only one body of Christ. And those are the ones that are following after the teachings of Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that are seeking to do what God wants them to do and the way God wants them to do it, whether it's in regard to their salvation, whether it's in regard to how God desires to be worshipped, or how God wants us to live. As we look at that, and we look at this, we see that truth comes out. What is the truth? Are we seeking it? Are we striving to find the truth? Micaiah eventually suffers from telling the truth. In verse 24, we see he said, "Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'Which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you?' Micaiah said, 'Indeed, you shall see the day when you go into the inner chambers to hide.'" We see Micaiah is still, even though he's being persecuted here and struck, he was still telling him the truth. And he's still telling them, he was struck in the cheek. Micaiah points out the day that he'll be hiding himself. Micaiah is taken away and put into prison for telling the truth. Micaiah gives one last plea to the people. Let's look at that in verse 26. He said, "So the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace.' But Micaiah said, 'If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Take heed, all you people.'" You see, there must have been a crowd around, and probably with the 400 and the two kings and maybe even some more. But he's pleading with the people to listen. Take heed to the words of truth that are being from God and that are being spoken to them. Maybe it's a plea to the army. Maybe the army are there. The leaders are there. Not to go to war. Don't listen to the king. Well, it ends up that there was that one final plea, and then we see what ends up happening. And we'll go ahead and read verses 29 through 38 to just not let you hang in there what happens. It says, "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and go into battle and put on your robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, 'Fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel.' So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, 'Surely it is the king of Israel.' Therefore they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor, and he said to the driver of his chariot, 'Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded.' The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. And blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then, as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout his army, saying, 'Every man to his city, and every man to his own country.' So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at the pool of Samaria. The dogs licked up his blood while the chariot bathed, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken." We see here what happens when he did not heed the word of the Lord. When he did not, and the king of Israel, did not follow after the prophet. When the prophet, the one prophet, Micaiah, was telling him the truth. Micaiah was not afraid to stand alone, especially knowing what God had said. And as we look at this, and that's one of the things that we need to apply to our life. We need to stand, even if we are standing alone, we need to stand for the truth, knowing that if we are following God and taking the truth from God's word, that we cannot be wrong. If we are taking scripture and we're living by it and standing by it, we'll know that it is not a lie. It is from God. Now, we can also understand this. A lie is a lie. Whether it's great or whether it's small, whether it's something that someone wants to hear or doesn't want to hear, when we lie to somebody, it is a sin. Rejecting truth is ultimately disastrous. What can we take from this? We need to seek the truth. We need to seek this truth. Proverbs 23 and verse 23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That means go after it. Spend money if you have to. Go get the truth and don't let it ever get away from you. We need to study the word of God. We need to study our Bibles. Make sure what the what what the Word of God says to us, and then study it again, and never be satisfied to make sure that we are right with God, make sure that we are striving to always get to that truth of God's Word. We need to be like the Bereans who heard the Word of God preached to them. They searched the Scriptures to see whether the things that they were being taught, whether they were truth or whether they were so. And they looked at God's Word and compared it to what it said. Remember, as we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would turn there, 2 Timothy, we'll look at chapter 4. We saw about preaching the Word and taking it out, and it says, be ready in season and out of season, convincing, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you Christians, you listen to this. Be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. He's begging Timothy to be watchful. And as Christians, we need to be watchful. We need to make sure that we are not doing things the way we want to, but and having those itchy ears to say, yeah, you know, I just want to live my life the way I want to live my life. We can't, and will you confirm that for me? Will you tell me what I want to hear instead of the truth? Micaiah was one who stood for the truth. We need to be ones that stand for the truth. We need to hear those who are seeking to help us. We need to hear those ones. Maybe, as I mentioned, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone who's trying to teach us the truth, a preacher. And we need to seek after truth. And also then, when we find the truth, we need to take it to our friends, to our neighbors, to our family, so that they know the truth, so that they can follow the truth. We have a few minutes. I'm going to look at Proverbs chapter 12, if you would turn there. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. I'm going to look at three scriptures real quick. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. It says this, the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And then we're going to look at Ephesians. I'm going to flip around here for a second. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you to speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And we go over to verse 15. It says, but speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. As we look at these scriptures, we need to have an understanding that we need to not lie. We need to seek the truth. We need to speak the truth. We need to stand for the truth. And don't let pride get in the way of us knowing what the truth is and obeying that truth. As we consider our relationship with God at this moment, according to the Word of God, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that. There's no other way to be saved from your sins unless you believe in Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins. That means you need to turn away from them, stop doing them, and be sorry that you've done them. You must confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you must be baptized in water for forgiveness of your sins. You see, salvation is not complete if we have not had our sins washed away. There are those that will say, you know, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. There are people that say, you know, I was baptized when I was a baby. You see, belief and baptism combined are necessary to have our sins cleansed. We must also be obedient until death. There must be a continual faithfulness to God throughout the remaining part of our lives. As we examine this tonight, if you are not in this right relationship with God, or if you want to study it more, seek one of us. Seek me. We'll look at the scriptures. We'll show you what the scriptures say. Not what I say, not what anybody else says, but what the scriptures say. But if you're ready tonight to make that commitment to Christ, to be obedient, or if you've left him, it's time to come back. And if you want to make that right tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.